Did you like this timing?
I was so good. Thank you so much.
All right. I've been told that before the last announcement, I was supposed to come up. And so here I am. So good to see you guys this morning. And we're excited for what God has got in store for us this morning. Just want to greet everybody who's joining us online. We welcome you and certainly people that are watching us. Now people are watching us a little bit beyond Kodiak, okay? We got people watching us in many different states. I get the reports, so I follow up a little bit on where people are watching us. Even international audience is what we have. And maybe mostly with my connection with family members and friends that I do have in France and in Mauritius and in many other French-speaking countries. So the word has been carrying on throughout the nations. Amen. So thank you for your support in getting the word out. This is what I got to say, is that thank you for your generosity in everything that you do. Next week, I don't want to give away next week's message. That's not right. I'll be talking a little bit more about God providing for us. Amen. We serve an amazing God. A God that sees ahead and makes provision. That's where we get the name Jireh. This is next week. Okay. So this morning, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah 29:11. It's been our theme since the beginning of January. We started this theme moving forward. How appropriate, Jesse, the songs, everything that we've been talking about or singing about has been around the theme of us moving forward in our personal lives as Christians, as believers, as fathers, as mothers, as spouses. We are moving forward. We're leaving the past behind. And we're saying, Lord, we know that you have a plan for our lives. Your word declares it. And we've been meditating on this scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. I believe by now you've got this memorized, right? You know what Jeremiah 29:11 says. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know. God is saying, I know the plans that I have for you. The plans are for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this has been the primary focus of us knowing that God has an amazing, a great plan for us, that we are part of His great master plan. But the question is, no matter how great the plan might be, are we willing to move forward with God's plan? God's plan is there for us, for our lives. But are we willing to make the sacrifice? Are we willing to say yes to God and to move forward with Him? That's the theme. That's the theme of for us in 2022, is to say yes to God. Yes, Lord. We want to move forward with you. We want to move forward with a vision. When we talk about vision, we talk about God having a vision for our lives, a vision, and also an appointed time for that vision to come to pass. We know what God wants, but we know that there's a gap in between the time of the vision being released and the vision being fulfilled. There's a gap. There's a gap. And standing in the gap is you. Standing in that gap between the anointing and the appointment is you. You. Me. We started the year with what I would call a few ugly words. A few ugly words. In this gap, we find those ugly words. Words that we don't like so much. But they are so real in the gap that we're in between the appointment or the anointing and the actual fulfillment. There's that gap. And those ugly words are waiting. That's an ugly word, right? When we think about it. How about testing? No one likes to be tested. How about preparation? Or how about this word, process? Did I say it right? Yes. If something in me says I did not say it right. That's pretty close, right? Process. What? Process. Process. Forgive the little British accent here. But we do say process. Last night we had this big conversation about where... Well, we had a long conversation about Budapest. Budapest. But you don't say Budapest. Budapest. There's a sh and a tin at the end. So anyway, ugly words. We're talking about ugly words that we're in and that we would rather not mention. How about this one? Submission. That's an ugly word there. We struggle with that word, submission or surrender. Well, it doesn't get any better today. Today we're gonna introduce one more ugly word, and that is leave. Leave. I don't know if you know this. Leaving is part of moving forward. You got to make a decision to leave. To leave something behind. As a matter of fact, when we think about the last command that we got from Jesus, the last command is called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission was all about leaving, going, not staying, not remaining, but go and preach the good news. Baptizing everyone. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We were called to leave and to go places. We were never called to stay. I believe even us as a church, I don't want you to stay. I don't want you to stay. I want you to leave. Because if you stay, there's only so much God can use you. But when you have this in you to leave and to go, you have this determination to always be moving forward. People who do stay, they tend to love what is behind. It's a shift of the way we're thinking. When I'm using the word leave or leave behind, it's a forward motion. It's not like you're leaving your assignment. It's not like you're leaving the calling. You're not leaving anything. It's an inward motion that is starting from inside of you, a decision that you're making, that you're saying, I am prepared to leave, to move forward with God, to accomplish the task that He wants me to do. If you look at our even our vision statement says this: to share God's borderless and unconditional love to all people with the hope of seeing their lives saved, healed, transformed, empowered, and guess what? Serving in all areas where God has called them. Guess what? To serve, you must go. To serve, you must go out and see where the opportunities for serving are at. But if you stay, you don't grow. If you develop this attitude of moving forward, you will be the best servant. You would love those ugly words. You would live by those ugly words, because you know when you're serving, you're being prepared. You know when you're serving, guess what? You're being tested. Try to serve in kids' church. You'll be tested. Try to serve in every capacity. Say, I want to be a life group leader. Well, guess what? You're going to be in preparation. Because you got to prepare. You're gonna have to prepare Peter and Jessica for tonight, for Sunday Night Light. It's a preparation. As you're preparing to serve, to feed others, guess what? You're preparing yourself. You're on this forward motion to do what God has called you to do. And this is what this church is about. It's about being equipped to go. Equipped to launch, to go and be effective hands and feet of Jesus Christ wherever He's called you to go. To be a voice where His voice is heard small. To be a light where His light is seen dim. That's what we're called to do. Many will come here on a transitional basis. They will come here to serve, to be planted for a short amount of time. But then they must leave. They must go. They must not stay to serve our community by being God's hands and feet, His voice and His light. So for me to talk about moving forward, I have to go back to what we as a church believe. What we are committed to. We are committed to this. We are committed to this. This is why we are here. We are here to be equipped so that we can go and do what God has called us to do. Moving forward is a journey that starts with us making a decision to leave something behind. I don't know if you know this, but your relationship with Christ starts with you leaving something behind. That's where you start as a Christian. You got to leave something behind. And that something you're leaving behind is your old self. Your past. You got to make a decision to leave that behind. In Galatians 2:20 it says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. Your old self has been crucified with Christ, and that is what you're leaving behind. That old self, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's a decision that you make to leave that old bag of bones behind. This is what you don't want to drag behind you. You don't want to drag behind you your BC self. You know what I'm talking about? Your before Christ self. You don't want to drag those bag of bones behind you. You got to cut that loose. You got to leave that old man behind. And this is what your journey of becoming a Christian, this is what starts that journey, is to cut that old man loose and to embrace this new life that is found in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. For those of you who are married, or even thinking about getting married, well, I've got a good news for you, because your marriage will start when you make a decision to leave. When you make that decision to leave your past behind. The word says, therefore a man, in Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave. Leave his father, his mother, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. In our marriage counseling that we do, this is something that we refer back to every time. Are you holding on to the past? Are you holding on to things that are in the past? Because if you don't leave, you cannot cleave. It's a leaving and cleaving process. You gotta leave in order to cleave to God's plan and purpose for your life. You gotta leave that big bag of bones behind and embrace a new life. That's the only way in a marriage that you can be one flesh, is when you go through that process of sometime even physically, spiritually, emotionally, leaving things behind. Everything behind. This morning we begin our journey in the book of Genesis chapter 12 with the story of Abraham, or Abram at the time, in Genesis 12 verse 1. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The question here is, why? Why leave? Why leave your country? Why leave your family, your father's house? The simplest answer I can give you this morning is, if you don't leave, you cannot move forward. If you don't leave, you cannot move forward. To Abram, his family, his country, his culture, they represented his dark past. A dark past filled with idolatry, filled with sorcery, filled with witchcraft, filled with everything that do not represent God. And God is saying, I'm about to do something brand new, but are you ready, Abraham, to move forward? Are you ready, Abram, to actually leave your comfort zone behind you and move forward with me? Are you ready, Abram, to leave this old bag of bones behind and trust me and move forward with me? That was the beginning of Abram's journey. He had to make this decision to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to go through those ugly words of waiting, of preparation, of submitting, of surrendering. I'm willing to go through the process. I'm willing to go through the process of preparation so that I can leave the past behind. Everything that was going to hold me back, I am prepared to leave that behind and to move forward with what you have in store for me. The same truth resound in our own life when we read Jeremiah 29:11. His plan is always good because he's a good God. He's a good God that gives us a future and a hope, that removes disaster from our life so that no harm, no evil can come near us. But in order for us to embrace this profound truth, this profound promise, we must move forward. God cannot complete his promise until we leave the past behind. Because when we read verses 2 and 3, no one has a problem with that. No one has a problem with God saying, I will make you a great nation. How about if we hear this now? I will make your name great. You're going to be an amazing person. I will bless you exceedingly. Everything that your hands will touch will prosper. We would say, absolutely, Lord, yeah. Yeah, yes, Lord, and amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. But the reality is, the promise is, maybe that's another ugly word, conditional. I mean, maybe that's another ugly word that we need to throw in this morning, conditional. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that God's promises, they are conditional. You might say, wait a minute, Pastor. We sing songs about all your promises are yes and amen. You remember we sing that song, yeah? You know what I'm talking about. All your promises are yes and amen. They are. They are yes and amen. But they are also conditional. I'm sorry, I'm disappointing a lot of people here this morning. I mean, man, I can see the faces. Everything is dropping. But let's look at the scripture, what the scripture says, because at the end of the day, if we leave the word, we probably have no direction. We have no bearings. We don't know really on what we're standing. But we have to go back to the word and see what the word of God is saying about the condition that applies to everyone, including me, including everyone here. There's a condition to God's promise. If we read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says this, For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God. There's a big word there. Through who? Us. Through us. A lot of times we actually stop at that very first part of the scripture. For all of the promises of God, maybe we even skip in him. Oh, yes and amen. The conditions here are very plain. The number one condition is in him. In him. Without him, there are no promises. There is no obligation if it is not in him. But God is so committed to the written word that he cannot do anything without the written word. He's bound by the written word because he is the written word. The written word became flesh and dwelt among us. So anything that God does cannot contradict whatever he has said. So condition number one is in him. It has to be in him. Without him, there are no promises. Condition number two would be through us. Through us. We are part of that equation. A lot of time we put the burden of the responsibility on God. And when we don't see things work out in our lives, guess what? We blame God. We blame God because we've excluded ourselves out of the process, out of the equation. In that equation, Let's call that the equation of life. A good life, because Jeremiah 29:11 says, a good life, a good plan, we're full of hope and a future. If we take ourselves out of the equation, God has no obligation. God has no obligation to fulfill, because he's requiring us to be a partner in his plan. Because God cannot force us into his plan. Yes, I said God cannot. You say, but God can do all things. But God cannot force you into his perfect plan. He will not be a grace-filled God. He will not be a merciful God. He will not be a just God. He will not be a fair God if he had the ability to force you to do something. Can he? He's all powerful. Would he? Absolutely not. God will never force you into doing something. In that equation, the only thing that will remain constant, unconditional, is him. He doesn't change. He's the only constant in the equation of life, because he cannot change. He cannot lie. He's bound by his word. He cannot change. He's the same constant. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He'll never change. He'll never change. You know what else doesn't change? His love. Why? Because he is love. He is love. So because he is love, his love is unconditional. Cannot change. He cannot change. But his promises are conditional. I've already broken down in Jeremiah 29:11. It's actually explaining the reason why we even started the new year with that promise. Because I believe God wants us to realize that we, you, me, we are an important part in that equation. Because a lot of time we shift that burden of responsibility onto God and we do nothing about what we need to do. God wants us to raise good kids, right? Parents, believe that. Do we have a responsibility of doing something about it? Of course. Of course. We can quote the word about many things, about raising kids God's way and everything else. But if we don't assume the responsibility of the day-to-day task, we can't shift the burden of responsibility upon God. And then at the end of the day, when things don't turn out right, we blame God. The same for our marriage. The same for our church. Everyone has a role to play in that vision that I just described. When I say everyone must serve, we're talking about everybody having this attitude of being a servant. Amen. We're talking about somebody who's willing to say, I am willing to go through these ugly words. That includes surrender. That includes submission. That includes preparation. When somebody is willing to go through this, they are ready to serve. They are ready for promotion. Promotion doesn't just come randomly. You can set yourself up for promotion just by going through the ugly process of preparation. Studying. Preparation for the Word of God, spending time with Him, growing with Him. All of these are conditioned to God's plan. For God to accomplish His purpose, for God to accomplish Jeremiah 29:11 in our lives, we must leave something behind. We must leave the disappointments behind. We must leave 2020 behind. Many are still holding on to the past of 2020 or 2021. It was the same thing. Basically, it was a repeat of 2020. So basically, we have two 2020 years. I mean, can you imagine having two 2020? Well, we can't really complain when we really think about it. King David had 13 years of 2020. Every year was the same thing. Remember, he was anointed at the age of 17, but appointed at the age of 30. So we're talking about 13 years of preparation, 13 years of submission. It's the process. It's the whole entire process. But we must make a decision to actually leave the past behind us and move forward. Leave the pain, leave the shame, leave the guilt. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is it that God wants you to leave behind? What is it? I mean, you know, what is it that God wants me to leave behind? Whatever it might be in your life, whatever it is that you fill in the blank, is it the bottle? Is it, I don't know, you fill in the blank. Is it porn? Is it whatever it might be? It will stop you from seeing Jeremiah 29:11. I'm here to just revive you and put life into you so that you can become aware that if you hold on to these things that God wants you to let go, it will hold you back. You will not leave 29:11. You will not leave Jeremiah 29:11. God wants you to leave something behind. Sometime, whatever it might be, it might not be so much in your face as when we talk about porn or any kind of other addiction. It might be something as subtle as you have a critical spirit. You have a critical spirit. You criticize everything that you see. The words that comes out of your mouth towards your spouse is always from a critical lens. You start seeing things and you start throwing stuff out, coming out of your mouth. You're critical. Maybe that might be the one little thing. It might be so subtle that nobody knows, because it might be so private. But the Holy Spirit has the ability to reveal those things to you. Would you listen? Would you listen in the privacy of your home when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and is telling you or challenging you even to let go of that one thing? Because that one thing will hold you back. It will. It might not surface right now, but eventually it will. It will. And it will hold you back. Philippians 3:13. He says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. The journey of forgetting the past starts with you leaving. 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 My journey, I don't have very much time to share this, but my journey as a Christian began when I made a decision to leave my past behind. I had to leave. When I read Genesis 12, when God is speaking to Abraham that we just read, I can identify with this. Because this is the same passage. I was new to the word. I was new as a believer. I mean, you know, for those of you who know my past, I mean, I grew up in a Hindu family. Sorcery, witchcraft, all of these were part of my life. These were the day-to-day happenings in my life. We would get up and we would go to the altar and my mom would be praying over me, serving those idols. We sacrificed things. There were blood sacrifices that we were part of. We did all of that. So when I read the story, the backstory of Genesis 12, because sometimes when you read just this passage, there's a whole background that you miss. That was his past. But when I found Jesus, Galatians 2:20 came to life. I realized that there was an old man. There was an old man that God wanted me to leave behind. And guess what? I left that old man in England. That old man never made it back all the way here. Actually, it was actually in Wales, to be more precise. It was actually in Wales. I needed to leave that old man behind and not drag this bag of bones with me on the train journey of 3 hours from Wales, Newport, Wales, to London, England. I made a decision. I knew when I was traveling light, because I was no longer carrying my old self behind me. For many of you, this is the challenge. God wants you to leave that old man behind. God wants you to leave that one thing that we just described, whatever it might be that is holding you back in your walk with God. It will affect the way that you hear the voice of God if you hold on to these baggages in your life. Moving along in Abe's journey. Abe's, I wonder if I get up there, I will be able to call him Abe. What up, Abe? I mean, I probably will have a few questions for him, you know, because I relate so much to his past. How was it like to tell your family that you're leaving because God said so? How was that conversation with your dad? Because I know what the conversation with my family was. It did not go very well. I'm leaving. I heard God. You heard what? Yeah, God spoke to me. I gave my life to Jesus. Why would you do that? You're crazy. Don't you know your heritage? I mean, your great, 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 great grandma all the way from India that came in. And this is what we have. We have idols at home. We've served those idols all our lives. Why would you be leaving behind and follow a God that you've just met? The conversation I had with many family members, a few of them don't even want to know me nowadays, but that was the price that you make a decision to pay. You have to do it. If you really want to follow God, you must leave mom and dad behind. I'm not saying be disrespectful. You know what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. You cannot rely on mom and dad's faith. Even if you were a Christian, you were born in the church. Many of you were born in this church. But you cannot live your life based on mom and dad's faith. You need to have your own. In order to have your own faith, your own walk with God, guess what? You must leave the past behind so that you can follow and develop your own relationship with God. It's no longer Grandma Faye's. Grandma Faye's, don't even know. Grandma, whatever, it's faith. You need to rely on your own, with your own walk with God. That's how you start developing. That's how you develop these ugly words in your life. When you've made a decision to have those tough conversations with loved ones. Oh, you need to have those tough conversations with loved ones. Explaining to them why you are so different. Never shy away from a conversation as such. When you're able to go in and say, hey, guess what? I found Jesus. I am no longer the same person that I used to be. I am different. I know you know my past. You know my ugly self. But I'm different now because I found Jesus. It's not hard to have those kind of conversations. Welcome those conversations in your life as you move forward with God. In Genesis 17, we good. We got one more hour. In Genesis 17, at the tender age of 99, God revealed himself to Abraham. God took Abraham, or Abram at the time, on a new episode of this journey. God had to reveal himself in a new way. God had to reveal himself by revealing himself by his name. His name. His character that is attached to his name. Before you guys know the story, you know that God changed Abram's name, right? From Abram to Abraham. From Sarai to Sarah. But before God changed their names, he had to reveal himself by a new name. We read about this in Genesis 17, verse 1. It says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Now, you could actually put a period right there and stop. I am Almighty God. I've added the word El Shaddai there because I'm gonna drive this from the Hebrew perspective. I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. Almighty God in Hebrew means El Shaddai. That's the very first time that God reveals himself by that name. Why? Why didn't God just go by Elohim? Because we know Elohim from Genesis 1. The triune God, the creator. God three in one. Why didn't God go by that same name? Why did God change the name right now and reveal himself not as Elohim, but as El Shaddai? El Shaddai is driven from two main Hebrew words. And if you can throw this out there. I'm making a big deal out of this. It's not like because I'm trying to show you that I've got a good command of the Hebrew language. I want this to become a revelation in your life. I want you to know this so that you can be equipped and prepared for what lies ahead of you. The two words there are very important. The word Shad, that's where you get that root word Shaddai, denotes God as our sustainer. A sustainer is the one who nourishes. He's the one that feeds you, that satisfies you. He's the one that makes sure that everything that you need to accomplish the task that is ahead of you is there. He's the sustainer of that vision. How many of you got a vision that you know that you got from God, but it's too big for you? Don't you think you need a sustainer? To keep that vision alive, to keep that vision before you, because it is way too big for you. Yeah. You need a sustainer. So God reveals himself as this sustainer. Then the word Shaddad is an overcomer. An overcomer. The one who triumphs over every obstacle and opposition. If you got a vision big enough that you cannot complete on your own, guess what? You're going to face opposition. You're going to face obstacles in your way that's going to stop that vision from coming to pass. And the enemy will send those obstacles your way. But when you know that you got El Shaddai on your side, when you know that you got the sustainer on your side, guess what? Whatever it might be that is impossible, you can do it. You can do it. That's the reason why here God reveals himself as El Shaddai. So important to know this. Why? Try having a child at the age of 99. I mean, would you say that there's a few obstacles there? I mean, I'm no biology teacher, but I know one who's got a couple of degrees of biology in our church. Is Caden here? He's serving. He's serving. Look at this, a servant. He you would agree with me that at 99, there's a few things that don't work right. There's a few obstacles in the way. So God had to reveal himself as the sustainer so that he can actually see himself as, I'm going to be able to carry this vision. I mean, if I was Abraham, I'd be doing the math. I mean, wouldn't you? At 99, I'd be 117 by the time this kid graduates from high school. I mean, I'll be thinking, you know, like, Lord, I'm going to provide for him. Am I going to have enough? If I don't have the sustainer with me, am I going to be able to provide for this kid? What about his college fund? Who's going to take care of that, Lord? You know, what about health care? I mean, what about me? What about my retirement? Is that going to reach, are the funds in the retirement plan going to reach maturity level before I croak? I mean, I'll be doing the math. I mean, you know, I'll be asking some questions. You know, I'm going to be 119 and a half. Is she still going to want me when I'm old and wrinkly? I mean, you know, I'll be asking a lot of questions about what to do. But if I know that I serve El Shaddai, the God who overcomes all the obstacles in my life, the one who will sustain the dream, his college fund is going to be paid for. The vision is going to be carried forward because the vision is bigger than me. And God wants the vision to be bigger than you. Amen. God wants the vision to be impossible for you. Because he knows that if the vision is impossible, his name will be made great. Forget about your name. He wants his name to be made great. He's the great El Shaddai. He wants to reveal himself in such a way. Then he goes on. He says, we go back to this scripture here. I am the Almighty God. I said we could put a period right then, stop. Or in English, we'll say full stop. But no, it keeps on. He says, walk before me and be blameless. Would you say this is a condition? I would say so. If I am known as your El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. When we read that same verse in the New Living Translation, it says, serve me faithfully. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Now, a blameless life here, when you study that word, I love words. That's why I'm coming up with all these ugly words, because I love words. I love their meaning. That's why last night we had a big discussion about Budapest. That is the proper way of saying it, by the way. Let it be known right here, right now, that you don't say Budapest. There's no pest in Buddha. That didn't sound right. That did not sound right. I'll leave this behind. I'm moving forward, Lord. Moving forward. The word blameless here does not mean perfection. It means without guilt and shame. How many of you can use a little bit of that? Moving forward without guilt and without shame. Let me ask you just a couple of questions here. Do you think serving God faithfully is hard? If we want to really be honest, we'll say a big fat yes. How about living a blameless life? Some of you say, man, that's impossible. You know, even if it means without guilt and shame, you have no idea, Pastor, where I come from. But just what if? Just what if for a moment that you know God as your El Shaddai? What if you know God as this El Shaddai, the Almighty One, the one who sustains you, The one who removes every natural, physical, spiritual obstacle in your way. What if you get to know this El Shaddai personally? Could you move forward? Absolutely. That is the biggest revelation when we read the story of Abraham. It was not so much that you're going to be the father of many nations, but you're going to know me before you know my promises. This is what we sang this morning. I want to know you more than your promises. So God had to reveal himself because he did not want Abraham to be attracted to the promises and not to him. Many of us, we live a life that is like this. We are attracted to the promises of God without God. We want to leave God out of the equation. Remember, he's the only constant. He's the only thing that doesn't change. We need him in that equation, so that we can fulfill God's plan for our life. I'm going to move on a little faster here. In Genesis 17:2, God delivers the vision. God explains what the vision would be like. Don't have very much time to go through the whole entire thing here. But in verse 2 it says, I will make my covenant. In your Bible, if you I don't know if you do this in your Bible, you highlight stuff. You underline. That is a word that is worthy of underlying. My covenant between you and me. And I will multiply you exceedingly. So that's the promise. But it's saying there, my covenant is between me and you. That covenant is conditional upon you leaving something behind. You must leave something behind in this covenant that we have between you and me. The greatest obstacle that we'll ever have in moving forward is the past. Will always be. It would be whatever the enemy cannot create any new tricks that we don't already know. He repeats things over and over and over in hope that somehow you will get caught. But if the eyes of your understanding are open, you will be able to recognize him a mile off. You will be able to recognize his plans, his scheme, his ploy. And that's the biggest revelation of a covenant. That's the biggest revelation of a covenant, is to leave your past behind. For Abraham and Sarah, it was their names. Their names must be left behind. If you read the promise as it keeps going, that had to be changed. Because their name was associated with the guilt and shame of the past. The guilt and shame of their past was through an act of disobedience. They didn't trust God to fulfill the promise. They removed God out of that equation. And they placed themselves at a higher level. So they did something out of disobedience. And you had Ishmael. So when God was going to do something brand new right here in their lives, God was reminding them that I am El Shaddai, and you must leave that past behind you. That's something that the enemy would use. That's an old trick. Because the enemy will use that guilt and shame onwards. Will always remind them that you messed up. Look at you. You messed up. Look at Ishmael. You messed up. You messed up. You messed up. God changed their name for that reason, so that they will not remember the past, the shame, the pain. So that Abraham, as a man, will not be able to go to Sarai, or Sarah at the time, and say, guess what? You made me do it. You guys know the story. God wanted to clean the slate so that neither one of them can blame each other. So a new identity was revealed in Abraham and Sarah. Identity is so important in your journey moving forward. I read a quote from Dr. Leaf, Carolyn Leaf, that Don sent to me last night, right? You texted that to me last night, and I don't have it on the screen, but I've got it here. I'm going to read it to you. It says, as long as your identity is built around your pain, you cannot be free of it. As long as your identity is built around your pain, you cannot be free of it. A lot of us are living in that pain of the past. And we haven't developed this new identity in Christ. So we are finding our identity in the past, the shame, the guilt, the pain, wherever we've been. But God is saying, I'm establishing a new covenant with you. As we get ready to close, I don't know if Jesse is going to come or Ashlyn. I want to zone in on that word covenant. And we're going to close with that. The word covenant means the cutting of flesh. Blood is involved in the cutting of flesh. That's where we get the circumcision. There's blood that is involved. It is only the blood that separates you from your past. It's only the blood of Jesus, that separates the past from the present and your future. The blood symbolizes a departure. I want you to get this picture. The blood symbolizes the departure from the past. That the blood is separating you from the past. The blood is giving you this new identity in Christ. Without the blood, you are holding on to this old self. It takes the blood of Christ to give you a new name. A new identity. It takes the blood of Christ to reveal God's plan for your life. What I believe that God is saying is, don't go back to the past. Don't even go and visit the past. Did you know that Abraham never went back home for Thanksgiving, for Christmas? He never went back home. He had to leave that thing behind. That past he could never go back and revisit. How many of you know Richard Starr? He's right here. Give them a little wave there, Richard. A little wave. There you go. In his Bible, right on the cover, I had this picture that was sent to me, and that's where I got the quote. He's got this written on his Bible. A quote from Bill Johnson of Bethel Church. And that's written in the inside cover of his Bible. And he showed that to me last week. And thought about this for a while, and then I was preparing the message, the Holy Spirit brought that to me, and I was like, hey, can I use that? It's from Bill Johnson. He says, to revisit our past apart from the blood of Jesus is to welcome deception, in that we are visiting something that no longer exists. Is that sinking in a little bit? To revisit our past apart from the blood of Jesus. Remember, it's the blood that separates. If you go there without the blood, you're going to stay there. To revisit the past apart from the blood of Jesus is to welcome deception, in that we are visiting something that no longer exists. Would you please stand as we close? I believe many of you have been revisiting this past. You've been hanging out this past. You've been like hanging out for Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and you've been hanging out the past. To the point that you've been deceived in believing in something that was already under the blood. You're falling trapped to the same old tricks of the enemy. You are a new creation in Christ. I hope that this is resounding with at least one person here this morning. At least one. At least one. That would say, you know what? I'm not going to go back to this past ever again. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm in a covenant relationship with this new God that I know by name. His name is El Shaddai. The one who sustains me when the task in front of me is impossible. My sustainer. Would you know him as your sustainer this morning? The one that will energize you with life, with faith, with hope, with future. The one that would make Jeremiah 29:11 ever so real in your life. And not just some words that you put on your mirror, on your fridge. But it is words that are spoken in life. Life that came from God himself. The Elohim, the Creator, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I pray that those words will speak to you in your darkest moments. That the El Shaddai, the sustainer of life, will come real to you. In a dark moment where you're going back to this, to the bottle. You're going back to whatever that one thing might be that God wants you to let go of. The El Shaddai will come real. The El Shaddai will say, I'm your sustainer. You don't need this. I am your supporter. I am the one that will sustain you, provide for you, and make sure you have everything that you need to accomplish the task that I've set before you. I pray in your darkest moment, when there is an obstacle in front of you, you're gonna know El Shaddai. The one who overcomes every obstacle, every plan, every scheme of the enemy. The one that says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. The one that speaks life into you. Father, we thank you for at least one person that has come to you this morning. And I believe there are many of you here that are making this commitment in your heart for the very first time. You've been in church all your life, but today, this has become real because you're serving a real God, the one who reveals himself in a brand new way. I pray for this one person that as they move forward, Lord, that your spirit would lead them, would guide them, that they will be surrounded with believers, with friends, with proper relationships, Lord God, that will push them forward, that will help them along this journey, just like you helped me on my journey. I pray for this single mom who's seeing the obstacle, the difficulties of life. Pray for that single mom that they would see El Shaddai as the sustainer, as the provider. I pray for that one person who's at thinking they are at the end of their journey. You've contemplated ending your life.
That thought has come. That thought is real. But I'm praying that El Shaddai will come real to you. That you're willing to say no to the past and yes to God's plan for you. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you all. And I will see you. God bless you. God bless you. I will see you again next Sunday for Jehovah Jireh.